The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and got into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
Thank you so much. My message this evening is called the Gaffer Tape Gospel. I'm going to be making 3 points: repair, strength, and an unshakable God. I'd like to start by giving you some fascinating trivia about gaffer tape. I know, it's gold, isn't it? Duct tape was originally designed in World War II for sealing ammunition cases. It was also used to repair military equipment, including jeeps, firearms, and aircraft. A more specialized product known as gaffer tape is preferred for many jobs because it doesn't leave a sticky residue when removed. In fact, in Finland, gaffer tape is actually called Jesus tape because it repairs everything. But what has this got to do with the Nativity? I've been thinking recently about how difficult this past year has been for many people and how nice it is to retreat from those difficulties into the Christmas Nativity. However, rather than being relevant to the challenges of these hardships, Christmas can become an escape from them. What is an uncomfortable scene has become softened with woolly sheep and glowing fairy lights. The Nativity was not supposed to be a fluffy story full of cotton wool sheep and children with tea towels on their heads, however adorable that is. It is in fact about a Saviour who came in the form of a baby, in order that we might relate to him in our struggles and accept him as our Lord and live in the peace that no matter how bad things get, he is our strength and our comfort. Those words I have just used of peace, strength, and comfort are more than just words in my own life, but truths I have come to live by through recent events. But more about that in a moment. Now, these three qualities of gaffer tape: it repairs everything, it's impossibly strong, and when it touches you, you cannot shake it off. I would like a volunteer, please, at this stage. I'm joking, it's okay, stay in your seats, it's fine. My first point, repair. I believe that the church is the hope and the repair of our broken towns and broken nations. We should remember how Jesus identified with the oppressed and the homeless. In the Nativity, God visually demonstrates that restoration and repair has literally come into the center of our real and troubled lives. In fact, Jesus has come to touch the lives of young mothers like Mary, single mothers, struggling mothers, first-time fathers like Joseph, adoptive and stepfathers, and parents in financial difficulty. The King of Kings had come not to rub shoulders with royalty, but to seek and to save the lost, to align himself with shepherds who were the outsiders of the first century society. Jesus had come to repair and restore what was broken. My second point, impossible strength. That is not to say that Jesus' message was just for the poor, but it was showing that God's priorities weren't the priorities of society at large. He had come to show the impossible strength of the gospel to those who had no strength of their own. As the psalmist says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts him and he helps me." You can't shake it off. Once touched by the message that Jesus had been born, the shepherds couldn't shake it off. They were compelled to visit the manger stall and respond to God in worship. This gaffer tape gospel repairs the relationship that has been broken between humanity and God and between people. It takes away our petty differences and offers us true unity in head and heart, unity under the headship and lordship of this tiny baby. As Paul says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This gaffer tape gospel is for a hurt and broken world, not for a sweet and sanitized one. But it also is for a broken you and a broken me. I believe this because I have experienced it. This picture on the screen is of our baby taken 2 weeks ago. Before I go any further, I'd like to point out that I actually wrote this sermon during the worst part of our time in intensive care. And at that point, we did not know what the outcome would be. It was only the strength of God that allowed me to do this. I want to be absolutely clear about that tonight. It was only the strength of God that kept us going. 2 weeks ago, our daughter was taken into hospital. She had stopped breathing at home and was taken into intensive care via an ambulance. She was placed in an induced coma and put on a ventilator that was breathing for her at 100%. She had also suffered a collapsed lung and moreover was only 6 weeks old and had been born 8 weeks early. The odds were seemingly not in her favour. I can remember looking at the image that you are seeing now, but in real time, and thinking about how remarkable it was that a baby named Jesus, who was no different to my baby daughter Zion, had come to save her life, and yours, and all of ours. Also, the sorrow I felt for those in the room around me who didn't share in that hope. So I prayed. And believe me when I say I prayed, I mean I really prayed. The picture that you see now was shocking to me. I just want to refer once more to those 3 points of the gaffer tape gospel. It repairs, it is impossibly strong, and when it touches you, you can't shake it off. My mum, who sadly I rarely get to see, phoned me from Spain where she lives and said she would fly over immediately to help. We had a distant relationship for some years, but Jesus had touched her heart to come to us, and I'm so grateful he did. That's repair and restoration. My twin sister also came from London and stayed at our house with my mum and helped. Again, sadly, we also have had a distant relationship over the years. But when it mattered, she was there. Jesus repairs and restores. Our other family members on both sides of our families all pulled together. That's God's strength. This tiny baby of ours had a collapsed lung one day, and the next day it was completely healed by God. Through the countless prayers from the people in this church, our family members, and even people who claim to have no faith, as a result of prayer, the next day she was taken off the ventilator and able to breathe by herself. This church family even stopped the prayer and praise service completely and prayed for our daughter collectively. And God responded to their cry. The entire church came together, praying continuously and ironing and cooking and doing school runs for us. Everywhere you turn, the strength of Jesus was being witnessed, as even the parents at our school were coming up to Joe Wigley saying, "We're amazed at the support network this family has around them." That was a witness to God's strength. And finally, when it touches you, you can't shake it off. Luke 2, verse 17, as we heard at the beginning, when they had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. I feel compelled to stand up here and tell you about the richness of God's glory in our lives and what it's like to walk in it. It's not that it comes without hardship. And I know that there are some people in this room that have had to deal with far worse than we have. But if you invite him, Jesus will stand right next to you. In fact, he will never leave you nor forsake you. I cannot tell you how many people we were given the opportunity to talk to in that hospital about Jesus. And it just kept coming. Sadly, I don't have time to share those testimonies with you right now. But if we would please stand as we respond to this word. But what I do have time to say is this. I don't know where you all are in your faith. You may already be in a relationship with Jesus. You may have given your life to him some time ago, but things just seem to have gotten in the way. Or perhaps you're just not ready and you're on the fence. That's all okay. But if you are feeling that compelling urge inside of you right now, then please be brave and come forward and allow us to pray for you right now. In the side aisles, there are prayer ministry waiting for you. Don't wait another moment. Giving your life to Jesus is the greatest Christmas gift you will ever receive. Amen.